fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I want to lead you again today toward Pentecost. The last couple of weeks, I just felt in my heart the desire to jump into the truth of Pentecost and to communicate it to everyone who's listening, because Pentecost is not meant just to be a celebration remembering a past event. Pentecost is a living reality. The recent popes have really labored to call the church to what Pope Benedict XVI described as the grace of a new Pentecost, that every single person, every baptized person is meant to live in a vital, meaningful, empowered life in the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be Christian. Jesus didn't come just to give us his plan and say, okay, go for it, guys. Just keep trying hard, work it all out. No, he came to give us power. That power is really his life within us. He's come to change us internally, to transform our hearts, to touch our imagination, to cleanse our mind, to give us a fresh new spiritual way of thinking about everything, beginning with ourselves, understanding ourselves in the light of Christ, which is completely transforming. Most of us have a very lousy idea of who we are, a broken idea. Our minds are darkened. Sin has affected us and our capacity to grasp the dignity of our own lives. It's not clear to us, why am I here? Where am I going? What's the purpose of all this? How am I to live? How should we then live? Lots of people are dominated by dissatisfaction in their heart and mind about who they are. The Holy Spirit has come to transform us from the inside out, to make us integrated people who are God-directed, that is holy. And he's come to send us on mission. To be a disciple of Jesus is to have a passion to love the Father and to love our neighbor and to fulfill the Lord's desire, to love him so much that we want to give him his heart's desire. And what's his heart's desire? Scripture's clear. God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires the salvation of every single person. And guess what? That means the salvation of each person is in the balance. Too many people today, even in the church, and walk around and just assume, hey, everybody's great. Everybody's going to heaven. If there's a heaven, we're all going. That somehow in me, I'm already good. I've already achieved. I've already acquired it all because I'm such a good person. I deserve it. That's not revelation. It's not God's perspective. It's not why Jesus came. It's not what he came to tell us and to do for us. That's why at Pentecost, at the very birth of the church, is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise and the promise of the Father that he would give us power to become sons of God, daughters of God, and to be able to live in that purpose for which we were made. And then we would engage Jesus' mission to save. So Jesus said, now that he died and rose, repentance and the forgiveness of sins is possible. So he tells the apostles, go tell everyone, go show everyone the road to the forgiveness of sins, to new life. Proclaim the gospel. I will give you power to do it. Now go. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And that's what the church is all about. That's the whole point of the church, is to communicate Jesus' work of salvation to the whole world. We're a body of people in mission. And if that's not part of our self-awareness as baptized Catholics or as Christians, then we don't know who we are yet. We're not there. Pentecost is a great time to come and to discover that again, or maybe for the first time, to step into the real mission, to move from a kind of a passive Christian reality or a moralism that says, well, really what this is about is I need to be a good person. I just need to keep working at being a good person. No, you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to confess your sins, to be truthful and honest about your own sinfulness and brokenness, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to focus on his mission. He's called you to holiness. He's called you to mission. That's it. Everybody's called to it. There's gazillions of people on the earth. Everyone, actually, friends, is called to that. even though the vast majority of humanity doesn't know it yet. That's their destiny. That's who they are and why they were made. But it's the church is the instrument through which that message comes to the world. And it's the church that reaches out in the power of the Spirit to bring people from death to life and to help them come to see who they are in Christ. And so the apostles went forward with clarity and confidence, with great power, fearlessness, with courage, boldness, they went forward and they proclaimed salvation. And the heart of salvation is the offer of the forgiveness of sins, repentance and baptism, reception of the Spirit, to enter Christ's body, his church, to become a new creation. I want to look at just some passages today, in this last few minutes here, from Peter. You might call it Peter's preaching or Peter's kerygma. The kerygma is the core message that Jesus empowered the apostles to preach. It's the good news about who Jesus is and what he's done. I'm not going to read each passage, but I'm going to give you the verses, and then I'm going to pull out elements of it so you can see how clear the message was to the apostles. And friends, we have to lay hold of this kerygma, the core message of the gospel. This is the message the Spirit wants to animate, wants to move you to proclaim, and wants to use you as an instrument for the salvation of others. Acts chapter 2, of course, is the whole story of Pentecost, which I touched on, I think, last week. I won't go through that. The heart of it culminates in about verse 32 onward. At a certain point, Peter said, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. Lord, all authority is his. He's come to bring every human heart under his authority and his majesty, such that we belong to him and we live to please him. And we passionately pursue obedience to him because we know it's freedom and life, and it's what pleases him. The authority belongs to him. And Christ means he's the one anointed with the Spirit. We remember that here at the season of Pentecost at this time. And I want you to remember, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon me again and again and again. Awaken in me the anointing and the commissioning that I was made for, Lord. And confess to the Lord your need for the Spirit and call upon him in faith. Acts chapter 3, verse 14 through 26. Peter is speaking to the religious leaders who are trying to silence him, tell him to stop preaching the gospel. And it's so interesting. These people with all this authority and power are trying to intimidate Peter. And they say, we're basically commanding you to stop talking about him. And what does he do? As soon as they're done scolding him, he starts talking about Jesus. And he says this. Here's kind of a summary of what he said. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And to this we are witnesses. The author of life. Isn't that beautiful? You see what Peter understands about Jesus? He's not just a prophet. He's not just a revolutionary. He's the author of life. Life comes from him. All that is living belongs to him. You killed him, but God raised him from the dead, and we're standing before you as witnesses. And so here's Peter. After he testifies that Jesus is the Lord, the author of life, and that he's risen from the dead, he looks right at the religious leaders and he says, therefore, repent. Repent means what? Change the direction of your life. Accept the fact that he's your maker, that he's the Lord, that he's the author of life. Acknowledge your sinfulness and your resistance to his will and surrender to him and come under that authority. Peter goes on, he said, turn again. That is, turn from sin, turn from your ego, turn from your self-centeredness, and turn toward God. Turn again that your sins may be blotted out. Friends, everybody has a sin problem. And if the sin problem isn't dealt with, they'll die in their sins eternally separated from God. So Peter's not worried about what the religious leaders are going to do to him. He's not worried about getting thrown in jail, whipped, beat up, or crucified. What he's concerned about is their salvation. They don't see it. Peter understands the fact that they don't see it. And he doesn't hesitate, therefore, to proclaim it to them. He said, turn now, turn again. That means turn away from the direction you're living in and turn toward God and God's will so that your sins can be forgiven. Every single human being stands in need of having their sins forgiven. No one is free from the power of sin and death on their life apart from Jesus Christ. And he said, so that times of refreshment may come to you from the presence of our Lord. He wants to send you the Christ appointed for you. That is Jesus. So the issue is, welcome Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the one who has the power to give you a new life. He wants to refresh you with his own spirit. That's Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through 26. Now, Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Again, Peter's testifying to the same leaders. He said, there is salvation in no one else. Here he's telling religious leaders who think they have salvation already, or they know where it comes from. Or think about our time. Everybody seems to think they're saved and heading home or wherever it is by whatever God they choose or whatever plan or pathway they choose. And postmodern people cannot stand hearing from anybody that the road they've chosen for their own happiness and their own salvation is somehow not good enough and it's not going to get it done. Well, friends, it's not going to get it done. Peter's very clear in his preaching. Salvation is in no one else. By no other name under heaven, there's no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. It's by that name, Jesus Christ, which the apostles said, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 and following. Peter again preaching, he said, God has exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. Here it is, friends. Here's the good news. Christ has been exalted. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Christ reigns. And he's reigning. He's going to bring everyone under his lordship, whether they want to or not. Peter's saying, now's the time. The time has now come. The kingdom's at hand. The king is reigning on his throne. Now come to serve the king. Come and to live under his majesty and lordship. Give him your heart. Let him save you. Let him lift you. Let him transform you. He said he's come to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. That's Peter's testimony. See, each case, that's his testimony. And he said, we are witnesses to these things, that Jesus died, that he was raised, that he ascended to the Father, to his right hand, that he's poured out his Holy Spirit for repentance and forgiveness of sins. He said, we're witnesses to this so that the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him can also come to you. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit so you can be brought from death to life. But it won't happen without repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And of course, Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 48. I have just a few seconds here in this last minute. Peter says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, healing all oppressed by the devil. We are witnesses to these things. You put him to death, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest to us. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Do you see how the mind of the apostles, how it's alive to God's plan, to reality? Friends, reality is God exists and God's Son exists at his right hand. And that Son has all power and authority. And he's going to come to judge every single life is going to be manifest before him and before all the living and the dead. You will stand before him. Open your heart to him. Say yes to him. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let him be Lord of your life and come alive in this Pentecost for his glory. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.